pray for Rick. Sometimes, you know, he was here this morning, but still has a ways to go and a lot to pray for with regard to Rick, as well as Linda Fazek. We want to continue to pray for her. I made mention in the bulletin, I think, last week, maybe I was a little bit vague, that basically with Linda, her treatments dictate how she feels, and we know how the chemo goes. Other members have suffered through that before, and there's always a period of time when you feel better after the treatments, and it's kind of a cycle. And so we want to continue to pray for her as well. And I failed to make mention this morning also about the baptism that we had last week with Greg Boschetti, and he is a good young man. We've been studying with him. He is an indirect convert of Heather. Heather, of course, had a lot to do, Heather and Jesse, with Arnold, who obeyed the gospel here recently. And then Arnold invited Greg, and now he's obeyed the gospel. And Wednesday night, at least, Greg brought a friend. And so that's kind of the way it goes with the preaching of the gospel. But we want to continue to encourage and pray for Arnold and Greg and all of our new converts, because this is the time the devil turns up the heat and he wants them back, and we don't want him to have them back. So let's continue to pray for them as well. And I didn't put anything in the bulletin because I didn't know how to spell Boschetti. we want everybody to know he was baptized, and they both plan to place membership with us here at Brown Street, and so we're excited about that as well. Open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. We're going to look at this psalm just a little bit here tonight. And, of course, the book of Psalms is one of the great sections of the Bible, and it is filled with wonderful teachings made up of spiritual poems. Of course, the Israelites would sing these poems, but they're filled with inspired teaching that can really help us live our daily lives. The Psalms, along with books like the book of Proverbs, are just filled with very practical things. And Psalms chapter 1 is sort of an introduction to the rest of the book. In fact, many scholars believe that it was placed in the first position here specifically because it is a preface to the rest of the book. And it begins to set forth the idea of the contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness, or the righteous and the wicked. And it lets us know that we all have a choice to make. We all decide which category we're going to fall into, whether we're going to be godly or ungodly, whether we're going to be righteous or unrighteous. And then, of course, it talks a little bit about the consequences or the reward of those decisions. And so let's just look for a little bit at this particular psalm, Psalms chapter 1. It begins with the word blessed, and that's the Hebrew word isher, and it simply means to be in a state of bliss, and particularly the bliss that comes from a relationship with God. Now, it doesn't always denote that, but very often, and particularly in the book of Psalms, that's how it is used. It's talking about those who are blessed because they have this relationship, a wonderful relationship with the God of heaven. For example, if you turn your Bibles over to the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, Deuteronomy chapter 33, and notice at verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and at verse 29. It says, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph." Obviously, they have a relationship with God. In this particular verse, the word happy is used, and that's the idea of the word blessed, although it's a little stronger and more intense than just mere happiness, but sometimes it is translated with that. But you see here, Israel has a relationship with God because they have been saved by God. They are the redeemed of Jehovah, and so they are certainly blessed. And then over in the book of Psalms again, Psalms chapter 33 this time, in Psalms the 33rd chapter, and at verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we understand that, of course, just as a general principle. A nation that follows God and has great faith in God is certainly blessed. And we understand the fear that this particular nation that we live in, this particular country, is getting away from that. We were founded upon principles that relate to God, but now we're sort of drifting from that. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. And there's the word blessed again. And obviously in this verse, it's dealing with those who have a special relationship with God. And all of us who are Christians, we can say that we have been chosen as his heritage. And certainly we are blessed. You can get out of concordance and look up that word blessed and see how often it's used in connection with being in a special relationship with God. And certainly as a result of that, we have a certain kind of bliss because of that relationship. And so the psalmist begins Psalms chapter 1 with that word blessed. And notice we understand that God is a God who wants to bless. And there are again many of the psalms that begin in the same way, but there are many passages that talk about how much God wants to bless his people. We shouldn't be surprised by that. It's just the nature of God. He loves us. He wants us to be in a state of bliss. He wants us to be happy and to be blessed. And over he does things to help us along those lines. Of course, as Christians, we're not unfamiliar with that. Because in Ephesians 1 and at verse 3, you remember that Paul emphasizes that we are blessed in Christ, that we in fact have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And those are the greatest kind of blessings of all. But this blessedness doesn't come by accident. And we recognize it's certainly not something that happens automatically. And even those of us who have obeyed the gospel of Christ and we're in Christ, if we're going to maintain this state of bliss because of this special relationship we have with God, there's certain things that we have to do. There's a behavior that we have to employ in our lives. And the psalmist now talks about that. And again, he makes a contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, those who decide to do the things that will cause them to be blessed. And so all of us have a decision to make. Which category that the psalmist uses here in this particular passage, which category we're going to fall into. And so let's notice what he says about it. First, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And so we have to make a decision, don't we? If you really want to be blessed, if you want to continue to receive blessings from God, you cannot, as he says here, walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, we have to understand that this is not contradicting anything that we said this morning as we talked about what our attitude should be towards those who are sinners, those who are unbelievers or outside of Christ, those who are living in sin. We shouldn't have contempt for them. But I think I made mention even in passing this morning, that doesn't mean we have to hang out with people in the world. That doesn't mean we have to frequent the places where they go. It doesn't mean that we have to go along with their schemes. In fact, that's exactly what God doesn't want us to do. He wants us to be a separated, a sanctified, a set apart people. In fact, this word counsel here in verse 1, those who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, that Hebrew word for counsel means advice or plans. And so we shouldn't go along with the advice. We shouldn't follow the game plan of those who are in the world. If we do that, we end up being among the evil. We end up being wicked just like them. And we lose that blissful state that God wants us to have. And so we have to make sure that we are people who are different. We remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, of course, in verse 2, when he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We don't have to go along with all of the things that are in the world. We don't have to dress like the world and talk like the world and act like the world. We are a peculiar, different kind of people. And we need to act like that. And that involves sometimes withdrawing ourselves from those who are in the world and not going along with their plans and schemes and acting like them. We need to try to help them. We need to try to save them. We need to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ if they're willing to listen. But we don't have to walk in their ways. And there are many passages of Scripture that come to mind. One that I think we're probably all familiar with is found in 2 Corinthians. You remember in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And at verse 14 beginning, Paul put it like this. He said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, he doesn't say that we are to have a contemptuous attitude towards the unbelievers, but he says, don't be unequally yoked with them. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. There's what we need to do. Be separate from them. Like, people in the world should be able to tell the difference between us and those who are walking in the ways of the devil. I've often said, sometimes with some in the body of Christ, you could set them right next to a sinner, person who is in the world, not living by the gospel of Christ, and sometimes you can't tell the difference between the two. That's not the way it ought to be. We need to be different. We need to be set apart, and that begins by not walking in the counsel of the wicked, by not going along with their schemes and following their advice. And then he goes on, of course, in this context, if we'll separate ourselves, if we'll touch not the unthing, then Paul says, God says through Paul, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, I will bless you. You can continue in this state of bliss, but you must be separated. You must not walk in the counsels of the wicked. But then there's something else that he says in this psalm. Not only do we have to do that, not only must we avoid standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of scoffers, but then at verse 2 he says, but his delight, talking about the one who is really blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Those who are really blessed and maintain a relationship with God are those who love the Word of God. That is really just the bottom line. Those who are in favor with God on an ongoing and consistent basis and are not wishy-washy and tossed to and fro are individuals who allow the Word of God to be a real, constant, continual part of their life. And it begins with loving the Word of God. Let me ask you, do you really love God's Word? Do you delight in it? Do you look forward to the times when you can sit down with an open Bible, just you and God and the Word of God, and you allow God to communicate with you through His Word? Do you anticipate those kind of moments in your life? Or rather, you turn on the TV and watch that, or go to a ball game and watch that. What do you really love? You know, the fact of the matter is we spend time with people that we love. We spend time doing things that we love. If we really love the Word of God, that will be reflected by our actions. But this is where it all begins, being righteous, loving the Word of God. I remember Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn over there. You remember as Peter was writing in this particular place in his epistle, he was writing to babes in Christ. And he encourages them at verse 1. He says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And that is a part. We're not talking about it now, but that certainly is a part of being righteous and being in that category and remaining in that blissful state. You have to put sin away from you. But then in verse 2, he says, likewise, newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up. And of course, when he makes reference to the pure spiritual milk, he's talking about the Word of God. And he says that just like infants, just like newborn, we long for that. I have pointed out before from this particular text that the word long there, that really denotes an idea of craving something. Now, you've all been around infants when they were crying for the bottle. It's not something, they are craving that. In fact, they're not going to stop crying until you give them that milk. And Peter is saying that's the attitude that we should have towards the Word of God. In fact, it's the same word that Paul used over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he was talking about longing for that future body that we'll have in heaven. And when you think about that, when you think about that time when you shed this physical tabernacle, with all of the pain and all of the sorrow that's associated with it, and you put on that new and improved body in which there is no pain and there is no sorrow, and you think about spending all eternity in heaven in that new body, that's not something you just have a casual feeling about, is it? Paul says we long for that. We crave that. But it's the same word that Peter used with regard to the Word of God. We must crave the Word of God. Listen to Paul over in the book of Romans, in Romans, the 7th chapter. In Romans chapter 7, and at verse 22, I believe it is. Romans 7, at verse 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Right, when Paul thought about the Word of God, he felt that on the inside. Paul was passionate about the law of God. And that's the way we all should feel. We should love God's Word. We should, as the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 1, we ought to delight in the law of the Lord. And so I ask you again, do you have those kind of feelings? Like, no one's asking you to stand up and give an answer publicly, but in your own heart, you answer the question, do you feel a craving for the Word of God? Do you delight in the Bible? See, that's important because that's the only way we're going to take the next step. And the next step, the psalmist says here in verse 2, he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, you're not going to meditate in the Word of God day and night. You're not really going to study the Word of God like you ought to. You're not, as Paul said in Colossians 3 and at verse 16, allow the Word of Christ to dwell in your heart richly. You're not going to do that if you don't love the Word of God. So it begins with delighting in God's Word. And when you really love the Word of God, then that leads to studying it and meditating upon it. And that leads to the kind of success and prosperity that we want to enjoy in Christ. I think about passages, and again, there are many passages we could turn to, but turn over to the book of Joshua. Remember when Joshua was about to take the place of Moses? And we can only imagine how intimidating that was. Moses was, of course, a great man of God. And now Joshua has to fill his shoes. And you understand that he probably was nervous about that. And he had some fear with regard to that. And God encourages him. In Joshua 1 at verse 6, he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that ye may have good success wherever you go. Look at verse 8. This book of law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want success in life? Everybody wants to be successful. In every endeavor that we do, nobody gets involved in anything and says, you know, I really don't care if I fail here. We always want to be successful, and we want to prosper. And the point of it is, from the beginning of this, God wants to bless us. He wants us to prosper as well. He wants us to prosper physically, but that's not nearly as important as prospering spiritually. He wants our souls to prosper. And in order to do that, you must delight in the law of God. And you must meditate in it. And then, of course, you must not, as God told Joshua, you must not turn away from it to the left or to the right. You must do according to all that is written. You must love the Word of God and live by the Word of God. And when you do that, you maintain that state of righteousness, that state of bliss that comes with a relationship with God. And the result of that, as you turn back over to Psalms at verse 3, he says that he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in seasons and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And so when you do those things, when you refrain from walking in the counsel of the wicked, and you love the Word of God, and so you meditate upon it, and you make application of it, you'll be planted like a tree. That's indicated that you'll be grounded and rooted, and that's exactly what God wants for us. And that's what we should want for ourselves. In fact, there's very few compliments that can be higher than someone saying to you, you know, I can tell you are grounded and rooted in the faith. You're not wishy-washy. You're not tossed to and fro all the time. You are someone who is reliable. God can count on you. The brethren can count on you. You're always in your place because you're grounded and rooted. And that comes by being different, by not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, by allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in you and living by it. You'll be like that tree. But the wicked are not so. He says at verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. And there couldn't be a picture that was more different than the one with regard to the righteous. The very opposite. The righteous are like that tree that's planted. The wicked are like that chaff that's blown by the wind, unstable, transitory. You know, the fact of the matter is, you can live a wicked life if you choose to do that. And you might even be happy for a while. I mean, I wouldn't stand before you and say, you know, there is absolutely no joy in sin at all. That would be a lie, and you would know right away that's a lie. Certainly, the person out in the world would know that's a lie. There is pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in living ungodly and unrighteous lives. But the fact of the matter is that pleasure is transitory. It's like chaff blown in the wind. It lacks any real weight. And from that standpoint, it's worthless. It's not reliable. It will be scattered abroad. You might have some joy, but it's only temporary. You know who understood that? Moses. I remember how the Hebrew writer described his situation. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11 and the great chapter on all of those who make what we sometimes refer to as the hall of fame of the faithful. And look down at verse 23 with regard to Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Then it says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, let me tell you, there was some, from a physical standpoint, there was a real blessing, a benefit from being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He would have power and prestige and popularity. At least people would pretend that they liked him because he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But verse 24 says that Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy what? The fleeting pleasures of sin. I would to God that we would all understand that reality. Bible doesn't teach there is no pleasure in sin. Of course there is. The devil is no dummy. I'm a city boy. I don't know a whole lot about things like hunting and fishing and all that kind of stuff. But I know for a fact, if I ever did go fishing, I would put some bait on the hook that the fish wanted. Even I know that much. And the devil knows that much. He doesn't put bait on the hook that isn't attractive to you. He knows sin feels good. That's what he's tried to trick you with. But he also knows, and Moses showed that he realized it as well, that the pleasure is only for a season. And listen to me now, even if you are in sin, if you're living an ungodly life, and even if perchance the pleasure that you enjoy lasts for a little longer than a season, you're still going to be judged in the end. Look at the psalmist again in Psalms chapter 1. And at verse 5, he says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. One thing we can be sure about, all of us here tonight, the day of judgment is coming. Hebrews 9 and at verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And as we've often said, that's an appointment you will not miss. I don't care who you are. You are going to stand before God in judgment. We're all going to bow at the feet of the magnificent Jesus Christ. He's going to be that great judge. And we'll have to give an account of all that we have done. Remember that picture that was painted in the book of Revelation? Turn over there quickly before we close tonight. Over in Revelation chapter 20. And beginning at verse 12. Revelation chapter 20 and beginning at verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, great and small, stand before the throne, and books were opened. Now notice that I saw the dead, great and small. That's the biblical way of saying everybody was there. No matter who you are. No matter if you're great or not so much, it doesn't matter. You'll be before that great white throne. And he saw a book open, and then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. See, you can decide to be categorized with the ungodly, with the unrighteous. You can refuse to be different, to be peculiar, to live a separated and set apart and sanctified life. But one of these days, the books are going to be opened. And we're going to be judged out of those books. He's describing here, not the book of life, but the ledger book that God has in his mind with regard to every one of us. And everything that we do is in that book. And it's only when we obey the gospel of Christ and we continue to walk according to the gospel, to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we're faithful unto death, that we get our name in the book of life. And if our name is in the book of life, we're in good shape. But if your name is not in the book of life, if you choose to be categorized with the unrighteous, then you're in trouble. And he describes it for us here. He says, at verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, and each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the judgment. That's what comes after the judgment. If you are sent to the left with the goats, as Jesus described in Matthew 25, you'll be in trouble. But it's your decision. And it's my decision. And so over here in Psalms chapter 1, then, basically in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3 have to do with the righteous. And then verses 4 and 5 have to do with the wicked. And in verse 6, it's just sort of a summary of it all and what's going to happen in the end. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In other words, God knows if you're righteous or if you're wicked. You have the decision to make. Which category will you find yourself in? And this kind of sets the stage again for the rest of the book of Psalms. But it's a pretty good summary, not only of the book of Psalms, but really of life and the world and people in it. The fact of the matter is there's only two categories. There's not a third. You're the righteous or you're with the wicked. and you demonstrate it by the life that you live. And you're either going to be rewarded for your righteousness with this blessed state of bliss and a relationship with God, or you're going to be numbered with the wicked. And the judgment is not going to be something you like. The verdict will not be favorable. What will your decision be tonight? What will my decision be? I hope that we'll all decide to avoid the counsel of the wicked and to be righteous and to love the Word of God and to meditate upon it and to live by it and be like that tree that is planted, grounded and rooted and bearing fruit in our season. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Maybe right now you're still with the wicked. Wonderful thing is you can change that this very night. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is that Christ, that He is the Savior of the world, that as Peter once said, He has the words of eternal life. If you believe that, why not do something about it? Mere belief isn't going to save you. Mark 16 at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The good thing is we have a baptistry right behind me and there's water in it. You can be baptized and your sins can be washed away, not by the water, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can do all of that in a couple of minutes. But it's your choice. What will you do? What category will you find yourself in? Hope that you make the right decision. Hope that you do it right now as we together stand and sing.